Who else chimed in there? I heard Mike. A couple other dings. Couple others.
This is Esther.
Hey, Esther. So, Tom, you've got to get them going to the right spot. If we need to do a little Freedom Soft one-on-one, I'm happy to do that.
Okay.
But you can – everything you've done, as long as it's saved, I just have to show you how to find it, where to find it. So, but, yeah, let's set that up later this week.
Okay.
And then now that you've got – I mean, you know the zip codes. I'm sure you had one or two bird dogs who were willing to go. Maybe some have asked you if they can go again. Get them out into some different codes.
John.
You've got that map. So, hey, John.
Hey.
But what's your work schedule this week?
I'm off tomorrow. I work Friday, Wednesday, and I work, and then I'm off Thursday. I work Friday. So
okay.
Tomorrow
we've got a
Thursday.
Yep. Shoot me a little reminder into, you can just send that one to me and then, I'll set up a GoTo meeting for us. So give me a couple of times that works for you tomorrow. Sounds like you're pretty wide open, but shoot
Anytime
me a couple there.
Then.
We'll do a little Freedom Soft. Yep. 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 So I know Esther's on and John and Mike Riley, and I think a few more chimed in. I didn't catch all the names. Who's got an update or question and or
Hi, Olivia.
Hey, Olivia.
Hey there.
What happened over the weekend?
Ooh. I worked through Saturday. I did that buyer didn't come through. I said, you know, it's urgent, da 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 da. But anyway,
okay.
I just put up a Craigslist today.
Okay.
I've sent out to all my buyers in that area. I had 40 buyers that were interested in that zip code or
okay.
buy and hold. And then what else was I doing? And earlier today I was looking up 40208 rentals, and I called
yeah.
a realtor, and she said she had two guys that were interested in that area and buying. So she
okay.
took it to the meeting with her, the information.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Hey, when you have an agent involved, and maybe you did this, maybe you didn't, just tell them if you have a commission for your buyers, just add it on to my price. So it's real easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that
exactly.
way you're not taking a chunk, so...
No, no.
And then when you say you sent it to 40 buyers, how did you send it?
I sent it
text or email?
SMS or, yeah, both.
Okay, and then did you follow up with a phone call or you just shot the message?
I did not. You know,
okay.
I just shot the message. The two people that one guy that was interested, I called back. Should I call everybody back?
Yes.
I sent it
to? I was just going to say,
plan on
it taking a phone call to move deals.
Okay.
And you stay the course on that. From time to time, people will text you back and say, hey, I'll take it. But for the most part,
okay.
You can get all the information out there, but then you can follow up. Hey, it's Olivia. I shot you a text about 20 minutes ago about this property. Did I catch you at a good time? And tell the story. It doesn't have to be long. Doesn't have to
okay.
be, here's what it is. Here's what you can do to it. Here's what I think fix up costs are, right? If you do that, using 70% of whatever, you get your money back in X amount of time. You know, first year return on investments about this. Do those numbers work for you? And just paint the picture and talk it through by phone. So
okay. So I can do that
yep.
Tomorrow or tonight. Okay, so yep. that's good. And then, let's see. I think that's what I'm working on. That's my big deal is getting that
yep.
contract sold.
Yes,
absolutely. Yeah, that's it. My assistant Gail and I watched the video for the website on
yep.
Friday. Was that when it was?
Yep.
And
yep.
immediately after she watched it, she got my website up and running. So
nice.
It's done. Yeah.
Cool.
So
yeah, the new
really
sites
good.
Are slick. So.
Yeah.
If you haven't checked them out
not
yet,
hard to do.
Big upgrade from what they were. So we're excited about them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and just for rule of thumb for everybody. Assume it's going to take a phone call to sell a deal. Now,
yeah, I'm sorry, Mike. Let's
especially
go back to
up
that.
Front.
I skipped.
Yeah, no
okay.
worries. But I'm just making a point.
No, I
when
hear
you
it.
Have
I need to
when
hear
you
that.
Have a buyer's list built and you've sold multiple deals to multiple people, then, I still assume the phone call. But then you'll get a text message or a reply off a blast like that when you have a You know, when people know that you bring good deals to the table, they'll call you back and say, hey, I'll take it, you know, or let me go see it, but that kind of thing. But, you know, always, even when we had that really established buyers list back in 2009 and 10, you know, Rob taught me from day one, when we go to sell a deal, you're going to pick up the phone. That was the assumption. So,
okay.
And it's where a lot of it, it's something a lot of investors don't do, and it's effective. So,
well, you know, yeah, exactly. Cause they need to, it's that drip technique. They need to hear it more than once. And I was doing all sorts of texting and SMS on Saturday, and I think, you know, the weekend, so I was going to follow up and say, you know,
yep.
Follow up with those people for sure. So I'll do that with everybody.
Great. Here's the thing. In some of these markets, in a market like today, and, you know, wholesalers will build sloppy habits because everybody's looking, you know, real estate's on the up and up, whatever, you know, all the TV shows, all the hype around it. But build good habits now, and that's one of them. Assume it's going to take a phone call, and then you watch when the market starts to change how many wholesalers disappear because they say, hey, I'm sending out a text, I'm sending an email, and I'm not getting any response anymore. And it's because they don't know how to pick up the phone and sell the deal. So we'll build good habits now, and it'll help you grab market share when the market turns.
Okay.
So, yep.
Okay. Anything else I need to do, Mike?
No, you have a live one. So here's always the challenge, right? Your focus needs to be on finding a buyer and getting this deal wrapped up. But at the same time, you can't let everything else fall. So, you know, make sure, you know, leads are coming in, make sure you're getting skip traced, make sure, you know, once this one is solved, that you've got, you know, calls to go to jump back into. So, and you have a business partner. Are you both on the phones? How does that work?
No, I do the phone work. She does technology.
Okay.
Lead scrubbing.
So she, okay. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. So as long as, so I'm assuming she's still moving forward and that way, you know, you get this one moved. Eventually, you know, like we're having a lot of conversations with folks on here about bringing a, you know, salesperson on. So when you have a full-time salesperson making the offers, getting them under contract, then your next step when that's in place is to just work buyers, work on the back end of things. And then when you get where Rob is at, they have salespeople and dispositions people, and he and Brad kind of oversee the whole thing. Brad does some dispositions still too, but those are kind of the, you know, that's kind of the natural progression there. So good stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Find a buyer. Get jump on the phone. It'll take a phone call to move.
Okay.
It. Yep.
No problem.
Good
okay.
stuff.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Who else?
Here you go. I'll go. What's up?
Yes, sir.
Hey,
feeling
man.
Better finally or no?
Yeah, I went to the doctor and, I have some antibiotics. They're starting to work a little bit. So,
all right.
It's just been so chronic, man. It's terrible.
Yeah, this has been a problem.
But anyway,
yes, sir.
I spent Friday setting up my my Filipino salesperson. So,
nice. Are they on are they on the phone yet?
Yeah, she worked about 3 hours this morning and made about 105, 110 calls and got a hold of two people and they were the not the right people, but
But what I did,
took the simple route. Yeah, at least I'm moving forward. And
I
had what?
You had calls go out on your behalf.
I had calls go out on my behalf. Progress. Yes.
Right. Cool.
She. What I did, I just took the simple route. You know, I set up a separate Gmail account and a Google Voice number, and that way, you know, she's used to doing that. She's got her own little system, and she's keeping side separate spreadsheets of the calls she's making and making notes and also in the leads.
Yep.
And so, like I said, it's progress. So,
absolutely.
That took Friday to get set up and I don't
yep.
think she works a whole lot on the weekends.
Cool.
Is she going to be what?
Is she going to be looking to set appointments for you? Are you going to
She's setting up, but she's really kind of eager to start negotiating. But I told her for right now, set up. She's got the script. And she says it is different than the script that she uses, and she likes it. But I'm just kind of going to see how it goes right now. But I think She does have an accent, but she knows what she's doing pretty much. Man.
Right.
It's pretty obvious. I heard back from the one that I hired that never really started working.
Yeah.
And I got an email like yesterday evening, said, I guess we're done, because she said I was going to make some calls, but, you know, she tried to log in and couldn't.
Right.
Because I deleted her off my account.
Right.
I mean, I guess
how are you going to play it?
I don't know. I haven't called her. I haven't called her back yet. I'm just kind of letting it ride.
Call her back. Here's the thing. I mean, then you'll have two on the table, and if you have enough leads and they're both effective and you can feed two, great. If not, then you'll put one against the other and see how they do. And you can just cut ties with one and move forward with whoever does a better job.
Yeah.
But if nothing else, say, hey, you know, I didn't hear from you, this, that, and the other, and I assumed that you had moved on to other things, but you want to give this another shot, I'll reset you up. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Kind of puts you in a good spot. So,
she said, I hope all is well. I found a good lead in Hueytown, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I don't
know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, follow your gut.
I just didn't know how to approach it, man.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
Well,
say, hey,
I tried to call you. I made four or five phone calls and two or three texts. And,
right.
You know.
But I assumed you had moved on. And then I get this email from you. So, yeah, just say, hey, let's start over. You know, obviously you need some communication for this to work. And sometimes a little thing like this, especially that she initiated the email back, says, you know, that she's still interested. So it kind of puts the ball in your court a little bit.
Yeah, but I don't know about relying on it, so that's for sure.
Well, you've got somebody else in place. Yeah, you'll make the right call. Either move forward with the VA or give her another shot and see how they do. Here's the thing. If you're giving them similar leads and you have two and you can see the results of both, you'll be able to, you know, get some good feedback about what's possible, where they should be, how many appointments they should set. You know, it's valuable. It's valuable to have two. Around the sales world, you know, we talk about it on here, right? Grow the business at the pace that makes sense. But in the sales world, you never hire one salesperson. You hire multiple, get a little competition going. You have feedback. You can compare. You know, in this arena, you know, it's not always necessary to come out of the gates with multiple. But, you know, you could get some valuable feedback out of it. So. Either way, you'll make the right decision.
Well, that being the case, I'll have to split those leads up on my vacants, which I don't have that many because I kind of quit getting them because I was trying to do it all myself.
Yeah, you
can
turn that back on.
I guess
you could ramp that up quick, though.
Yeah, I had to do the bird dog thing because I never really did it before here. So, you know, I was doing it myself. So, but, yeah, I can ramp that back up.
Yep. Yeah, you'll make
Birmingham's not that big, though, man. There's only so many vacants in those areas, so
we'll
have to see what happens.
I'm beating a dead horse here, saying it's time for market number two.
Yeah. We don't know.
I can't make you do it, but I can strongly recommend.
Yes, we're headed that way, sir. I agree completely.
Perfect.
So, but I did spend the day going through some of my old other leads and –
Yeah.
Making some contacts, too, while I have some time. And I'm waiting on the other deal to close. The title was not back today, which we're a little disappointed, but hopefully that'll close this week. So,
how many old leads could you sort through and divvy up to salespeople?
Let me see here. There is
a couple 22. Thousand.
Well, I don't know about a couple thousand. Some of them are just mailing lists. You know, 700 or 800 is a mailing list that shows up. But
But just on top of the vacants, you could pass out some more leads that they could drum up while you turned up.
Yeah, several hundred easy.
Went full-time lead gen. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, it's a good problem to have, but you get a good salesperson, and they're going to work through some leads. So you've but that's a great place to sit. I mean, if you had people on the phones, John, and you know your buyers for now, maybe working the disposition side and just, you know, overseeing lead gen, which is really managing a couple bird dogs and then getting them to your VA, pretty easy process.
Right.
You know, that's a good place to sit. So anyway,
yeah,
good stuff.
Yeah, man, that sounds like I got something to do.
Hey, this is a big deal. The first sales calls on your behalf went out without you picking up the phone. It's a big step.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah, it is.
It's huge, and it was just a matter of, I don't know. You know, I was watching Google Voice in real time almost.
Yeah.
So she's hustling. So
that's cool.
She's gonna go. She took the disc test too, man.
Oh, what'd she come back? Yeah.
She was a very, very high I with about the same amount of D and C.
Wow.
DSC.
She can handle the sales gig. That's cool.
Very high I. Very, very high.
Yep. That's perfect. That's a good fit.
Yeah.
Because the C is the accountant, too. So you've got somebody that's most likely pretty organized.
Yeah, well, she popped out those spreadsheets. I mean, right after she had the call, she sent me a spreadsheet. So this is and these are my follow ups. So
yep, sweet.
$6.50 an hour.
How much? $6.50.
$6.50 an hour. Yeah.
Cool.
That's worth
good stuff. Good update.
All right, brother.
Yeah, get that sickness out of there. You'll be full speed ahead.
It's going.
Full
I feel
ahead,
better
even,
tonight.
Even not feeling good. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I'm pushing it.
Cool. Who else going to jump in? I know Esther and Mike are on, and I didn't get any other names. So.
Hal Coker.
Aaron and Hal. Hal, you want to jump in?
Yeah, I'm actually waiting on a final walkthrough. And I forgot about the time, so I just got on a few minutes ago.
Okay.
You're
sitting over
that.
At a property then?
Yeah, I'm sitting at a property.
Final walkthrough to buy it or final walkthrough to sell it?
To buy it. Yeah,
to
sell it. I'm sorry. We close on Friday, and they're doing the final walkthrough tonight.
Gotcha.
And but I found a guy today. I need a guy on, kind of took a chance on a guy that was hungry. I think he's a pretty good tile guy, and I think he's going to be good on hardwood floors, and I'm going to give him a chance on one of my houses. I'm tired of waiting on the general contractor all the time. And
fixing houses. And,
yep, and if I can get him going, then I'm going to start pulling business away from my general contractor.
That's how that works.
Any rate, that's about all I got, really. I sent that stuff.
Gotcha.
I don't know if you've had a chance to look at it.
I saw you got through step two. You know, really the familiar there, that's really designed how to get you through some deal of value. You're familiar with it, get you familiar with FreedomSoft, which you had previously. So I figured you'd get through that step pretty quick. So when are you going to jump into step three, or have you already?
I haven't.
Okay.
In fact, yeah, I was good just to get that done last night.
Yeah, and that's fine over the weekend. So, jump in there as soon as you can this week, get some leads generated. So you'll have questions, I'm sure, when you get in there.
Well, I got questions, a couple questions right now, actually. I've always gotten my own leads, and I know you told me since I'm down here, don't take the temptation of – there's a couple hot areas where I'm at and about 30-block stretch, and – I don't have anybody right now to go do it. Usually I just drive it myself and map it out and then take the leads and give them to somebody to search them. But I haven't had much. I've tried people for bird dogs before, and I haven't had good luck, so I must be doing it wrong.
Go through step three. That's what I was telling you is the challenge is I want you to do as little as possible when you get it set up because that way you're ready to be remote in another market. So you've got to treat it like it is. Even though you're there half the year. Yep.
Okay. I'll work on it this week.
Yep. You just happen to live in a place that's that's deep. Yeah. You know, half the year you're in Denver. If you were here full time, you would not be setting up shop in Denver.
Oh, I know.
I want you to leverage other people, so that's what you learn, so that you're not, you know, spending time driving around, which...
I read part of that about, you know, getting a bird dog, but do you pay them, so much a good lead, or do you...
Yep.
How do you...
Per lead.
How do you pay them?
Yeah, and it's, it's all in step three there. The aggie
it all is?
Process,
okay.
How we pay them. Yep. Yep. So just jump
okay.
into step three this week. You got it.
Okay. Will do.
Good stuff. Yep. And then I think Aaron, was that Aaron Rose that chimed in?
Aaron Rose! What's going on, bro?
How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm sitting in my car in a shady spot, 93 degrees outside with the AC going, and I'm looking at my resumes for sales guys, and I'm also, which looks now I'm up to probably 8 or 9, so that's good.
Yep.
I had the kids all weekend, so I wasn't able to do anything, but I'm also looking at List Source now for this property that I got under contract here in Berkeley. And it is under contract now, 360.
Okay.
Looking at it, but it's great. And I've got one guy down the street interested, but I'm looking at List Source at the absentee owners and zip code 80212, last market recording date of last year, the whole last
yep.
year, 3 years. Because these scrape projects take a while, you know.
They do.
Can happen.
They're probably two.
Maybe I should increase that a little bit.
You're probably a month for drawings if they don't have the permits. You're about 2 months right now at the city of Denver. And if your builder's
Fine.
Fast, you're 6 to 8 months under construction, give or take.
So that being said, and then I've selected lot area, basically 6,000 to 7,000 square feet, because in order to do this duplex deal, it's got to be at least a 6,250.
Yep.
So that's I don't know if I should even have that right now, but how do I narrow in on developers specifically, would you say?
So you're going to pull some of them there, but you can just get on Google, you know, real estate developers
in
Denver.
Yeah, just Google.
And just start calling. Yeah, just start calling through that way for sure. Did you get signs up in the neighborhood? I'm telling you, that'll be an effective way.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, that'll be really effective. It's one of those hot neighborhoods that people are driving in and out of looking for deals. And so the reverse bandit sign method there, I would assume would generate some calls. It's a hot little area.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. So I'm going to write that down.
Yeah, this sucker's live. So it's all about finding phone numbers. So either, you know, the List Source, I love that method, but you're going to have to, you know, find the owners, have a VA skip trace them. That's a couple days out. So if you do it, that's great. But jump online, get signs in the neighborhood, and, you know, just go grassroots on that thing since this one just kind of came out of the blue. You should have a post on Craigslist. Got a deal in Berkeley. You don't need to give an address. You can give approximate cross streets. You've got to have it on there. If anybody says they're buying in Craigslist, you've got to call them. And in Denver, there's so much flip activity around there. You can drive the neighborhood, pull up at every dumpster, and property under construction, walk inside and said, who's running the job site here? How do I get a hold of the owner? I've got a property for sale a couple blocks away. You know, what's the owner's number? And you'll get it that way too. And just go total grassroots since it's in town. Yep.
Going guerrilla.
Have to.
Yeah. Well,
I mean,
there's no shortage of houses under construction around here, so.
Not at all. That's the thing. Yeah. And there's a huge shortage of deals.
Yep.
So Craigslist is instant. Bandit signs is instant. Developers off Google is instant. Call them up. Who's your buyer? I'm a wholesaler. I just got a deal tied up in Berkeley. You guys looking for a lot? I mean, they're all over the place.
Yeah.
And then drive
true.
Around the neighborhood. So, yeah, man, get that
right
stuff moved.
Yeah, exactly. That could be a quick 10 to 20, I'm thinking, 10 to 20 grand.
Yeah. Yep.
Like nothing.
Yeah, make it
All
happen.
Right. That's
where
that
that's
is.
A,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, go gorilla on it. It came out of nowhere, so you did. That's your option.
Yeah. Just get after it. I've got till the 22nd to put down any earnest money, which I put it $3,000, and then till the 29th to get out of it on an inspection notification.
Oh, man, that should be plenty of time.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's like, what, 10 days from now it gets...
But here's the thing. Here's the thing, right? When you have a long time frame like that, you know, hustle it up and just get this thing locked down.
Oh, yeah.
Earnest money from your end buyer. Get the closing date scheduled. Get it all in place.
How does it work with the, because I've seen a lot of wholesalers around here, especially like Net Worth, they do like, you know, or even more people than that, they do the $5,000, you know, like non-refundable. Do you do your whole wholesale fee up front, non-refundable, and then you're out of the deal?
The wholesale fee, no, just the earnest money is non-refundable. And we would typically collect about twice as much as we had to put down.
So the earnest money is $3,000. So I need to say $6,000 non-refundable fee to
or five, and then if it all breaks loose and you put out three and you collect two, you're still covered. Or you're right, if you're out three and you collect five, you're still covered. So yeah, we always did non-refundable earnest money with our end buyer.
So what paperwork do I need to lock that in, or is it on the assignment?
You need either the assignment. Yeah, earnest money's on the assignment. Yep.
Okay.
And the agreement that we always said we put in, you know, seller agrees that they will deposit X amount in non-refundable earnest money to the title company, you know, called whatever, located at title company name and date, and then we would, you know, once that document is signed, we would typically, depending on the time of day. Hey, you know, if it's earlier in the day, hey, I've got to have earnest money over to Chicago Title by 5 p.m. at this location. Is that going to be a problem today to get that in so this thing's, you know, locked up? You know, if somebody needed to extend to the following, that's fine, but we wouldn't give them much leniency on that from signed contract. So, yeah, you just need the assignment signed. Or if you're double closing it, you need the other contract signed, whatever the paperwork is.
Okay, I assume it's just going to be an assignment deal. I don't mind.
Most likely.
So
you just sign the assignment. Or that, yeah, you'll sign the assignment and your end buyer will. That'll go to title company. The earnest money for whatever, $5,000 or whatever, goes to the same title company.
And then they're holding $2,000 of it for me if this thing goes south.
Nope, they're holding five.
Well, they're holding five of it, but three. Yeah, three is
going to come from you though. That three is not going to come from the title company. Two transactions here.
So I'm going to put down $3,000 earnest money myself, and then they're going to be holding $5,000 earnest money deposit from my signee.
Two transactions here. Yep. You got it.
And then if it does go south, the $3,000.
Here's the thing. If you walk out of the deal, here's why we always collected more, right? Because if your end buyer backs out, they walk away from their earnest money.
Right.
Right? And then if that hoses you on the buy side and you lost your $3,000 earnest money, you had $5,000 collected on your transaction that they bailed from.
Okay.
So you're still ahead. Most of the time, somebody puts $5,000 into a deal, they're not going anywhere. I mean, ideally, you want to get the deal done, but that's why we always collected a little bit more in earnest money than we paid out.
And then what if my assignment fee is $20,000? Do I still just do $5,000 up front? Or?
Yep, earnest money and assignment fee are two different things.
Okay.
Yep. So you're going to walk... You're going to walk from if your assignment fee is a flat $20,000, you're going to walk from closing with $20,000 with a check from the title company.
Right.
Earnest money is them putting their money where their mouth is, saying I'm going to close on this thing in your place. Yep.
Okay. Well, if it's negotiable and it's $5,000, I might as well do $6,000, you know, and at least double my
double the earnest money.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Make it an amount that a buyer is going to be okay with. Now, somebody in Denver buying a $380,000 lot, $6,000 probably isn't a big deal. At the end of the day, you know, keep it within reason, because ultimately what you want is a buyer that's going to take the property. So here's what else you should do is you've got a contract in place. Who's picking title company? Do you have that?
The seller already did, yeah.
Okay, so you need to get a hold of them. Does the seller know you're assigning it?
Yes, but we use the official Colorado contract, the 17-page one, and
yep.
I wrote it in the additional provisions. He already knew. And I told him, you know, it's like, I want to get it done. I'd like to be, you know, able to partner with somebody on it. On the deal. But you know, I don't know. And it's in the end, it may not be me, you know, going through with the deal. It may be another, you know, another LLC or what have you. So, he knows it's assignable for sure.
Okay. So get a hold of that title company and say, hey, I'm the buyer or on a contract over here. You know, we wrote in, the seller's fully aware, this is an assignable contract. That's the likely exit strategy. Is there anything else that I need to be thinking about as I go to put this thing together and get them involved so there's no surprises when it shouldn't be anyway, but just get it on the
okay.
table.
Okay.
Yep. So have a conversation with whoever the closer will be on that file.
And as long as my assignment contract states that, you know, this whatever portion is non-refundable, then that'll go through to closing. If the thing did fall apart, the closing company will see, okay, well, this obviously belongs to
yep.
the guy in the middle or whatever.
Yep. Yeah, and you can just make sure they're clear on that. You know, talk to the closer.
Okay.
And say, here's what's going to happen on this. And it shouldn't be, you know, like I said, it shouldn't be an issue. You'll find a buyer that says yes to 370 or 80 grand or whatever the case, submits their earnest money, they're going to show up at closing. Nobody, you know, people in their right mind aren't going to walk from 5 grand. It's a slim chance.
Right. Yeah, I think.
But it is possible. So anyway,
okay.
Yeah, that's it. Give the title company a heads up. Make sure they're good. Ask them if there's anything you need to know. There's an assignment agreement in FreedomSoft. You know, double check that one. If you remind me, I don't think it's the same one. I've got one saved that I'm happy to forward to you if you shoot me an email to remind me quick.
Yeah, I'll do it right now.
The next time I'm in the logged in, I'll hit reply and attach it. So, yeah, man,
okay.
Good stuff. Get that guerrilla marketing out there and get this thing moved.
Yeah, for real.
This market, what's that? Oh, I was going to say, this market, it sounds like you have a legit price down in Berkeley. I haven't bought here in a couple years, obviously, but that sounds ballpark. It sounds reasonable. You ought to have
yeah.
a buyer on this thing by Thursday's call. That doesn't seem like it's outside of reason with what's going on in this town. So see if you can just lock it up here in the next couple days.
Yeah, and I've already got one guy on the line. I'm just waiting for him to get back in town. You know, he just lives down the street. And
yeah.
He says he knows a developer in the neighborhood that can get this thing built in 90 days. So that would be impressive, to say the least. But
that'd be beyond impressive.
Now, that's not – that. I don't think that includes
No, yeah, that's just construction time, but still, that's hauling.
Right, yeah. I think
that's moving. I mean,
breaking
construction's
ground.
Construction's a function of manpower.
Right.
I mean, you're right, that show that's not on TV anymore, that Extreme Makeover, they would come in and do a house in a week. So,
right. Yeah.
I mean, it's possible. It just takes more people than, you know, most companies are willing to throw at one deal, but more power to them.
Although he figured about $5,000 bucks a week. It takes a week to do about $5,000 bucks in rehab.
Ah.
About 5G. Yeah, with some manpower, you could blow through that number in Denver pretty easy.
Yeah, so, yeah, well, like $30,000 fix, you know, six weeks plus add a week.
Gotcha. Yeah, and this will be a scrape and a... What, a big duplex,
right.
Aaron, most likely?
Duplex. That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah,
so this will be
out a big
This will be a ground up. This will be a six to this will be a $700,000-$800,000 construction budget, I would guess. What, four aside? Maybe, yeah, probably four aside, I would think.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you multiply, let's say, 175 times, it will go 2,500 square feet each side.
437, yeah.
Yeah. Four to 450 aside. Yep, this will be a big project.
Wow.
Good stuff. Darren, let's get that sucker moved by Thursday. Get that thing locked
up. Okay, sounds good. I got all those notes written down, so we're good.
Cool. Who else?
Mike, this is Esther.
Hi, Esther.
Hi. I've got my DA that has skip-traced the properties and such, so I'm ready to start making calls.
Yep.
So should I be looking for cash buyers?
Be
looking for cash buyers.
Yeah, but let's get you on the phone and get a deal first. It's the age-old question. What do I do first? Do I go meet some buyers and then go find a deal? Do I grab a deal and then go find some buyers? At the end of the day, when you're working, Esther, with a private seller, you can likely tie up a 21 to 30-day inspection period, you know, right up through closing. You have leads. You have them skip traced. Let's get you on the phone. You get a live one on there, and then we'll do some guerrilla marketing like I was just talking to Aaron about. You know, we'll get you online to some of that stuff and get it moved. So let's get you on the phone.
Okay. I'll get that
going.
Let's
go there first. Money will gravitate towards a good deal. So, because then you have something to advertise. You can meet buyers without having a deal, but you're just having an open-ended conversation. Makes it so I'm not saying that it's not effective or that it's not doable. I'm just saying when you have a live one on the line, you actually have something to send out some marketing around. You have a property address for a text message, for an email blast. You can follow up. Hey, we haven't met before, but it looks like you bought in this area. I've got one for sale over here at 123 Main Street, and have the conversation. So you have leads. You have phone numbers. Let's get you talking to sellers.
Okay. I'll get busy.
You got it. Good stuff.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Who else?
Yeah, it's Mike Riley. Mike,
hey, Mike.
I want to double check. I'm still trying to get out of step one.
Yes, sir.
And it may be a technology skill limitation, but what am I expected to do with ListSource to be able to use their services to get out of step one?
What do you mean do with ListSource? ListSource, you can just sign up for, and in step one, you just pull a value. You just pull a number on how many absentee owner transactions there are.
But don't I have to have an account to get in there?
You do. Yep, you can have a free. You can set up a free account with ListSource.
How do I go about doing that? Because I don't find any way to sign up for a free account.
I'd have to send you a screenshot.
No, it says create an account on there because I did it the other day. This is Hal.
Okay. Upper right-hand corner, Hal?
I don't remember where, but it's on the home page. You just have to look around a little bit because I had the same problem at first. I thought they were going to charge you for an account, but they won't. You can create an account. I think it's up there by login. If you're not already a member, you can create an account, I think. Up in the right-hand corner, I believe.
Okay. I'll give it a shot, guys. Thanks very much.
Yeah, Mike, look up top, very top of the screen. Usually top right is kind of the default setting for logins or account creation.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Good old ListSource. Hey, it's valuable. You know, Rob kind of jokes about it. Between ListSource and his other favorite is Click2Mail, which is the U.S. Postal Service. And he's not a huge fan of either of them, but they sure have accurate information and services on there. ListSource can be a little clumsy to use, but it's worth figuring out a little bit because to be able to pull that data is valuable.
Do you have a YouTube video or anything about how to recommutate or whatever when you've got an Excel file and somebody else has a comma-separated file and they're not exactly the same and the columns aren't in the right order and they've got to screw around reordering the thing, is that something I'm going to have to learn? And if so, I need to get tied up with some kind of a training program.
Yeah, typically you just need to save your Excel as a CSV, and that's as simple as doing a save as when you name the file, and then right below there's a drop-down. Excel file is going to be the default, and you just go down to CSV, comma, delimited, and then click save.
Okay,
so Mike,
thank you.
If you get stuck on that, let's do a quick shared screen, because it's not hard. It's just easier to see. And
okay.
If we need to do that at some point this week, let me know. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Yeah, definitely a tech side to this. You know, here's the thing, everybody. Some of you like the technology. Others of you don't. It is what it is, right? We have different opinions on it. This is, you know, a lot of the tech is where you can get a VA, you know, to kick in and help out if you want to manage leads. I mean, you know, that's why we have the conversation about, you know, hiring a VA and getting a VA on board. You know, Rob just, he uses them for so many different things that once you get used to the idea of having a VA on board, you can have them do just about anything. So, you know, keep you organized. You know, John's got a VA on the phone as a salesperson, right? So it can go all the way to that. But you can hire just a VA that's a little bit tech savvy and say, you know, to send it off to them and say, hey, you know, convert this to a CSV for me and then email it back, you know, and just build that into your hours. It's, you know, it's not going to take them but a couple minutes. But that's some of the stuff that you can start leaning on other people for. Again, it's just, what do you like? What are you good at? What do you want to outsource? So as a business owner, you get to make those decisions. But to get to have a VA on board and just start kicking some of these tasks to them, you know, utilize them for that kind of stuff. Rob, he also goes to Fiverr all the time. Is it still called Fiverr, or did they change the name? They might have changed the name.
No, it's still Fiverr.
Okay. So it got started as, like, $5 tasks. Hey, I need this done real quick. Give you $5 for it. You know, now, you can pay, you know, way more than that. You can hire, you know, for instance, when Rob needs a logo done, he goes to – he's got a gal on Upwork that does graphic design, or sometimes he'll just go to Fiverr, and you can do whatever you want. He had this is a little off topic, but to give you an idea, so Rob had never composed a song, and his daughter and he were talking one night about she plays the flute, and somehow they got on the topic of really hard music, really hard pieces to play. So Rob, you know, being sort of clever, he jumps on Fiverr and he says, hey, I need a musician to compose me a 3-minute tune. It needs to be very hard to play. I want to call it Butterflies Fluttering or something. He gave it some silly name. Can you write me a song real quick? And I think he paid 20 or 25 bucks for it. I mean, he did this all for a joke between he and his daughter, but just goes to show you that he wanted to get something done. He had no idea how to do it. A musician showed up and said, I'll write you a song. Wrote an original piece, called it Butterflies Whatever, and sent back what it looks like. And then Rob said, here, Samantha, I wrote a song. Try and play this. Just as a – right? He's just doing it as a joke. But when you understand the tools that are available and you don't have to pay a ton of money for it, you can get anything done that you want done, anything. So, you know, part of this is about opening up that process, right? Most people – I've never hired a VA, and then you hire a VA, and then you start thinking, wow, I could have a VA do this. Hey, I could have a VA do that. And it just changes the way you go about your business. Now we're actually building a business instead of building a job where you're, you know, where you have to do everything. So, side story. Rob is an accomplished composer. He has one piece, and he didn't write a single note. He doesn't know how to read music, but he commissioned the composition of a butterfly song.
Hey, Mike, I'll speak to what you just said about, like, having a VA.
Yeah.
You know, I've always done everything myself, and there's just always that pressure of time constraints and getting this and that done. But since my having a VA, just knowing there's somebody there that I can push that task off on if I need to, it's such a, I don't know, it's liberating.
for sure.
It's awesome. But is Aaron
sure.
still on the line? Aaron, are
Aaron
you still
Rose
on the line?
Still with us? He might have muted out.
Yeah, he may be, but.
What?
Aaron, are you still on? I thought I heard somebody say yes.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, my friend's pretty active there in Denver, man. I bet you he knows somebody may want to buy that lot.
Yeah, let me connect you guys.
Seriously, I mean, he's very
yeah.
active. He sends, I'm on his blast list, and I'll probably get 4 to 5 emails a week. That's how much he's doing 20 or 30 a month easy. So, I mean, he knows a lot of people, so it might not hurt for him to call him.
Yeah. He'd probably want a chunk, like a co-wholesale arrangement, I would guess.
Not a chunk, no, but, you know, I mean, it's just a thought.
Yeah.
Hook him up.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
I mean, he'll want something for doing it, you know, so
for
I mean,
sure.
I don't really,
he should,
I don't
yeah,
really.
He should get something if he finds a buyer. So
yeah.
Aaron would have to, they would just have to talk that through.
Yeah. But anyway, it's just a thought.
Email me his name and number, John.
Okay. Will do.
I'll forward it.
All right.
Yes, sir. Yes,
this
sir.
Is Mike Riley again, if I can.
Yeah, Mike. Yeah, for sure.
Just talking about the VAs, I've heard about them being used a lot, and I'm just concerned. I mean, what's your experience been with reliability? I think I heard tonight that maybe one of them was a little less reliable than planned. And
yeah, no different than hiring people in general, Mike. So Rob's had he's gone through a handful over the years, right? Quite a few, I would say, but he's had a couple that have been with him 6+ years, super reliable.
And how do they get paid? What kind of technology pays them?
Depends where you hire them through, but PayPal, if you hire them through Upwork, which is what we talk about in step 3, you just pay them through Upwork. And Upwork
okay.
is the go-between. So, yeah, it really just depends. But Rob has had he's got a couple super reliable VAs on the team that have logins and passwords on the technology side, on the business side. Fully trusted.
Beautiful. Okay.
He doesn't have any with bank account access, but you know we've heard of other investors who have VAs that have that kind of access. That you can just go in and have them handle payroll, or you know, hey, the landscaper's done on this house, right? How could I have a VA that says, you know, hey, I need you to pay, you know, submit the invoices here. Hal approves them, you know, for his construction crews, and then the VA could pick them up. Go right into the account, generate checks on online checking, and send them. I mean, all the way through that type of trust relationship. So it's no different than hiring people in general. So,
okay.
Yep.
Long distance makes it a little exciting.
I get it. Yeah. So right, you would never start with, hey, I'm looking for somebody to have full access to my bank accounts. But over the years. I mean, that's the thing, though. You can hire somebody locally and have them be siphoning off money, right?
Yeah,
so,
absolutely. Yeah, that happens on a not irregular basis around
right,
here.
Right, all the time. That's a function of, you know, ethics and morals, not location of individual. So.
Yeah. Thanks.
You're welcome. Who else?
Hey, Mike, this is
yeah.
Woody.
Woody, what's going on?
Hey, I have a very quick question about Freedom
yes,
Soft.
Uh-huh.
I also need a very quick tutorial. Can you help me with that? Because when I'm adding leads, it seems like I'm not able to add both mailing address and property address. I'm able to add
yep.
only one of them.
You've got to have a custom field.
Okay.
So typically, the address at the top of the screen will be property address. And then what we've
okay.
done is just go generate a custom field that says mailing address. Actually, a couple. We do mailing address, mailing city, mailing state, mailing zip, and break it out so that we can merge it onto different documents. So do you know how to do custom fields in FreedomSoft?
No, I haven't been there yet.
Okay. If you go to the classroom tab. Uh-huh. And then in the top section, the very first section of videos is called Using FreedomSoft. There are 24 videos.
Okay.
Open that up, and it's in, within the first five. I can't give you an exact number, but it says something about how to customize FreedomSoft.
Okay.
Watch that video. It'll talk about custom fields. And then if you have any further questions on it, shoot me an email in the coaching email. I'm happy to help you out there.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yep.
Sounds good. Thanks.
You're welcome. What other questions? Okay. All right, everybody. If anything else comes up, let us know. Looking for some good updates. John, you've got some things happening. Hal's going to get into step three. It looks like Esther and Olivia are dialed. Everybody that chimed in, making progress here. So, yeah, any further questions? Tom, if you're still on, let me know about tomorrow, and we'll do a little screen share. I'm happy to help on the tech side as well when need be.
Okay, thanks.
That's part of it. And, looking for some good updates on Monday. Or on Thursday, I mean. By Thursday. Let's not let the week go by. We've got good stuff happening, so. Yeah, everyone, have a great afternoon, great evening, wherever you're at. Good next couple of days. Obviously, any questions, get them into the coaching email. And keep these ships moving forward.
All right, Mike, I'll shoot you that email. Hey, did you ever get a chance to look at my fields?
What fields?
I sent it through the success, I put your name
when
in the
you send
header.
It?
When?
I'm not, send it again. Send it again, John. It's not ringing a bell, but I read a lot of email every day, so.
Yeah, I know you do. Yeah,
shoot it to me again.
That.
If I missed it, I apologize.
I send it to support. Should I send it to success team? It doesn't matter.
Oh, if it's in support, I maybe haven't seen it yet. Those get filtered. It should get my way. What time did you send it?
Oh, it
was
the other day. No, it was.
Send it
I don't.
Send it.
Thursday
send it
or
again
Friday.
Yeah, send it again and put attention Mike in the subject line. Do that for me.
Oh, all right, buddy.
Sound good?
That's it. Thanks.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
All right, everybody.
Thanks, Mike. Good night.
See ya.
Yeah, absolutely. Good talking to everyone. Keep it moving forward. A lot of good stuff happening as always. So talk soon.
Thank you, Mike.
Yep, take care.
Thank you.